Morning. This morning, today at the Oasis, we're going to talk about victory. Let's start with prayer. Father, we love you. We're grateful for that love that you have for us, Lord. We're thankful for your word that you open up yourself and poured it into these scriptures, that we have it as our life, that we can live from it, Lord, that we can grow from it, that we can be nourished by it for all the strength that we need to go through this life and this world that we left, that we're in right now, Lord, that we have you and your scriptures to guide us, to lead us, and to show us, to reveal unto us your will and your way, Father. We praise you for it. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this morning I want to give you some insight, is what I'll call it, for Christian living. Okay, it's not, I don't want to preach a message all about you and how you can be a better person and do all that, because that's not my style. I like to point it towards God, point it to Jesus, because he's the one. I mean, just a perfect example at the break there. Amber talking about some guy, some person talking about atheism and pointing out things and trying to get people to doubt their faith and those kind of things. And I think, you know what, when we compare ourselves one to another and start saying, well, I don't do what they do, or, you know, this person's wrong because of this and that, then we're kind of pointing out and looking at people instead of looking at Jesus. And the whole New Covenant, the New Testament, is all about Jesus Christ. It's the Son of God came into the world to save God's people, that by faith in him we could be saved. And that's the end result. So as we look at God's things, I mean, we're going to look at, you know, maybe how God can help us overcome something in our life. But the end result is, it's about Jesus. It's about him and his kingdom being glorified, because we're looking at him for the answer. Remember the scripture we read even before service that, you know, praise God, thank God that it is through Jesus Christ that gives us the victory. And that's where we're going to see this all throughout this message today, that Jesus is the victory. So we come up with some insight into Christian living. This is going to be probably the beginning of not so much of a sermon series, not like we're going to have victory 2, victory 3, sometimes like I do. This is more going to be of a, you'll probably catch a theme in the next few weeks. God has really been laying something on my heart about setting people free, getting us to live it out without the bondage. And that's where the last few weeks we dealt with the law and grace and that kind of stuff, to let go of the bondage, that we can step into what God has for us. So we're going to have more of a theme about living victoriously in our Christian walk, again, with our eyes and our focus on Jesus. As we come up against struggles and adversities in our life, anybody have anything this week? You know, if you did any driving this week, you know, you probably had some struggles and adversities, right? I was out with I work for UPS still, and I was riding with a guy in Laramie doing some training, and he picked this gravel road to go down to cut across to another gravel road, and we got going, and it was, you know, fairly deep, and, you know, he was flying. I mean, he knew momentum was going to get us to the other side of that drift, and so we'd hit it, and of course the back end slides every time, and so we start sliding towards the ditch, and he was able to get it back. You know, we're still going 40, 50 miles an hour trying to get to the next drift, you know, and we'd hit the next one, we get all the way to the end, and I bet we weren't from here to the end of the building. And I was like, I don't think so, man. And he said the same thing at the same time and hit the brakes, and we skidded to a stop just about 8 feet from a drift that was probably about this big and about the length of the building. And there was no way. Even our momentum wasn't going to get it. And we knew if we buried that truck, we were going to be there all day digging it out. So we get out, and long story short, it was part of the adversity of the day, but we did have to chain up, and we got another guy that happened to come up behind us, and he made a path through that with his vehicle. He could make it through with this big, tall four-wheel drive, drove back and forth and back and forth in it and busted it all up, and then we put chains on and we made it through. You know, we had to back up and get a run at it kind of stuff. But anyways, it's one of those things. It's the adversities. It's things that we deal with every day, right? We're going to have something. Some of them are what I would call short-term adversities, something like that, okay, or something like a flat tire on the way to work. Or we're on our way to an appointment, we've got a doctor's appointment, man, the car's not starting, now we're late. Okay, that's what I would call kind of a short-term adversity. It's something that, you know, it's pretty stressful at the time. It's gonna make your anxiety level go up, right? You're pretty stressed out about it, but then, you know, by the end of the day or maybe the next day, it's pretty much resolved itself. It's a new day, that's kind of passed, and now you just start over, you go through a new day. Okay, that's kind of a short-term adversity. Other things are more the long-term adversities. And that's kind of what I'm going to talk some about more of those today. We might have a long-term battle, something like a battle with depression. Okay, some of that's been around. Some people struggle with it for a long time. Maybe a physical injury or an illness that we're wanting to overcome this and get past it, but it's taken a long time. It might be something like financial woes. You know, you ever get in over your head in debt, man, digging out of that hole can take a long time. Sometimes it's relationships, long drawn out divorce. My brother went through one of those, man. That was a long, hard time in his life, something that was kind of a long battle, a long struggle to get through. Sometimes we might feel like we're in a dead end job. You know, maybe we don't see much light at the end of the tunnel with whatever situation we're in. And so it's more of a long term battle, more long term struggle or something that we're dealing with. Okay, well, the long term challenges weigh pretty heavy on your heart. Okay, it's something that takes an effect over a course of a long time. It's not big slam stressed out for 2 hours digging your truck out of the snow and then getting past it the next day. You know, we laughed about it later, about skidding to a stop up to that snowdrift. But, you know, at the time, that guy was pretty stressed out, and I'm his boss, and so he's all upset. I'm so sorry. You know, it's like, no, you know, it's no big deal. But anyway, that came and passed. But these long ones, that's a long-term thing. It just kind of weighs on you, holds you down, and you feel that adversity coming against you. It's things that weigh upon you sometimes, making you not want to get out of bed in the morning. Some people want to stay in bed all day. Some people I know would try to, maybe they'll go out and they'll try to force something. They'll do something big, something, you know, elaborate or extreme to try to force a change in their life that they think they want to see, right? I knew a gal at one time that she had what the secular terminology would call bipolar kind of stuff. So she would swing up and down, right? Okay, and so when she'd get down in the bottom part, it would be calling into sick. She wouldn't go to work sometimes for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. Would really struggle during those times and really didn't want to be around anybody or see anything. And she'd go to the other end to get up on the highs, and she'd go out, buy new cars. She'd have extramarital affairs, maybe get her husband's credit card and rack up thousands of dollars, you know, in a couple week period. And that was kind of the other end of that. So sometimes people try to force things to happen or to be different because they know they don't really like their current situation. Okay, whatever the adversity is that we come up against, how do we live victoriously in that situation? Whether it's a short-term stress for a day or it's a long-term adversity, how do we live, you know, in a situation that it could be short-term or it could be one of those long-term ones where we're fighting for our life, right? We're fighting for our sanity. We're trying to hang in there for the long haul and dealing with this stuff. What is going to cause us to triumph? What is going to cause us or lead us to victory in that kind of a situation? You've been dealing with it forever, it seems like. You know, as long as you can remember, I've had this problem, I've been suffering through this. How am I ever going to get up and out of that? Okay, this is the kind of, when I'm talking victorious living, I'm talking about let's get out of that. Let's get to that other level. Okay, whatever that situation is, I want to give you three things today that are going to help get you going in the right direction. Okay, it's not the all end all solution. Like I said, the next few weeks, God has really laid some things, I think, on my heart that will help to set people free. But I want to give you three things today. First, I'll just name them, and then I'll go back through them each, and we'll talk about them. But number one would be to understand your heritage as a child of God. Okay? What is your lot in life? Okay? You're a believer, right? We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is your heritage as a child of God? There, I even put them up on scripture. I forgot I did that on the board. Number two would be to determine the root cause of your struggles. Okay? I got them kind of in goofy order, Jeff, but they're down there later. You'll pull that up again. Second one is to determine the root cause of your struggles. Okay, whatever it is, financial, relational, you know, physical, what is the root cause of your struggle? What is it that you're dealing with? The third one would be to open your eyes to see into the spiritual realm and then respond according to what you see in the spiritual realm. Okay, now we can look with our eyes. We could see the snowdrift, right? Okay, that's the physical part of it. We can see that with your eyes, but I want to talk about looking into that spiritual realm of what's behind some of the circumstances that are going on in your life. Obviously, not some big, huge, you know, demonic force put a snowdrift there, I don't think, but it was something that we came up against. It's just a little thing in our life. But be able to open your eyes, see into that spiritual realm, and then record it, respond according to what you can see in that. Number one, let me go back to this. Understanding your heritage as a child of God. Okay, what does that mean? Number one, you have to know that God has called, well, let me ask you this. Has God called you to live a defeated life? Has God called you to live in that, you know, always under the gun, always suffering a little bit? Knowing that even Jesus said, in this life you shall have tribulation. Should we then just expect to be overwhelmed by little problems and big problems and everything in between? Should we just expect that to be our lot in life, that it's always going to be a struggle? I mean, after all, Jesus suffered, right? He suffered beatings, he was whipped, he was mocked. At one point, he was so defeated that he could not even carry his own cross to the hill that he was going to be crucified on, right? But did Jesus live a defeated life? Was his life a failure? Absolutely not. Jesus was a victor. He lived in victory. Okay? He most certainly was a victor. Even in 1 Corinthians, it tells us that death was swallowed up in victory through Jesus. Right? Because of what he did. He rose from the dead. Okay? Death has no more sting, it says in 1 Corinthians, because Jesus has conquered death by rising from the dead. It has no more ability. There's no more fear of that anymore for the believer, it says in other places in the Bible. Because of Jesus in your life, we have to know that we are not called to live in defeat. The end result of your life is not defeat, as it was with him. Your life is determined by God to bring glory to God. He wants your life to glorify him. That's why he saved you. It's you are his creation. You're precious in his sight, and he wants you to be that glory that shines. You know, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That was his goal for you. Okay, God is determined to see you bring glory to his name. He has called you to live in triumph, not to always be beat down by things. We'll go through stuff. I'll explain that. We will go through stuff, but he's called us to live in triumph. Because of Jesus in your life, you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. That's your heritage as a child of God. This is what he's called you to. Look at Deuteronomy 28, verses 10 through 13. It says, "And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of thy body, your health, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give to you." Next verse, Jeff. "The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto the land, thy land, in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow." Next verse. "And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee to do this day, to observe and to do them." And you know the laws that we talked about last week, that God has written them on the inside of us, on our heart, in the fleshy tables of our hearts, so that we can obey them from the inside out. It's not a checklist on a wall anymore. So God has given them to us that as we do those things, we will be blessed. We will be the head and not the tail. We will be above and not beneath. That we will have the fruit and all the things and the blessings that God wanted to give unto his children. That's part of his plan. Okay? The commands that he gave us were given and laid on our heart, written on our heart, so that we can yield to the Holy Spirit within us that he also gave us, right? Still about him, so that we can live in that victory. Adversities are going to come in your life, but they're not going to prevail over you. Okay, that is not your destiny. God has set you up for success, and he has given you Jesus, given you the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to conquer the enemy, to be able to overcome the adversity, to be able to make it through to the other side of that snowdrift or whatever it is that you're facing in life, right? Let's look at Jeremiah 32:17. Just a couple of scriptures along this line. It says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth, and by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Just a reminder of the way of God. There's nothing too big for him. There's nothing he can't overcome. There's nothing that he is not going to be able to get through or that is a challenge for him. I mean, like, oh, this is just not going to happen. You're not going to have to suffer with this forever. Okay, it just doesn't work that way in God's kingdom. Look at Jeremiah 32:26. It says, "Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah." He said, saying, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Even God himself asking a question. There is nothing that is too much for God. Okay, there's nothing. Okay, they're still trying to figure God out. They never have. How far his kingdom goes, right? It goes a long way. If you look at Louis Giglio videos and some of that, man, it's pretty spectacular, but it's just a fraction. I mean, we really don't know how far his kingdom goes. Okay, so remind yourself of this, as that's part of that number one, that there is nothing too hard for God. Understand that he wants to bless you. He set you up as his children so that you could bring glory to his name. Not that people would look down on you and say, man, I don't want to be like them. Look at their life. It stinks, man. That's bad. That's not his way. God wanted your life to glorify him. So then, if you go through a struggle, you go through something, you come up on a snowdrift, whatever your situation is, then we go on to number two. Determine the root cause of your struggle. Okay? Determine the root cause of that. Now this, I'm not saying that we're going to, you know, analyze and say, well, it snowed, right, in my situation. I gave that example. I didn't even have that in my notes. It kind of came up with that. But let's say that, you know, I could go through, well, it snowed on Tuesday, and this was Friday, and, well, it just hadn't been enough days. The temperature had been, I got to figure it out with my head, okay? I'm talking about going deeper than that to see what's behind your struggle. What is the root cause of it? And I tell you, if you can get this part down, If you can begin to look at the calamities in your life and get to the root cause behind those things, you're going to grow in leaps and bounds with your walk with God. You're going to begin to flourish. You're going to begin to see, now I understand what was holding me back. Now I see what had come up against me. Okay? There's more to life and more to this life than what we can see with our natural eyes. Okay, Jesus understood this, the apostles did, and I'm going to give you some examples here in a minute of Old Testament guys as well that understood that. There's more than what you can see with your eyes. There is a spiritual realm that we were born into. Remember, you're born of the Spirit as a born-again believer. So we're born into this spiritual realm that we are now living in. The Bible says, Romans chapter 8, that to be spiritually minded brings life and peace. Okay, but to be carnally minded, to be carnally minded is to live according to your flesh. That's to live according to what you can see and touch and taste and feel and hear. To live just according to that brings life, brings death, it says in that same scripture. Okay? The spiritual realm that we live in is just as real as you and I. It is real. It is as real as the chair you're sitting on that's holding you in place. It's that real. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. Okay, now we can look outside and see the trees bending in the wind. We can see the leaves scampering across a parking lot, or we can drive down a highway and see the snow blowing across the road. We can't see the wind, but it is definitely having an effect on the natural physical things around it, right? Just because we can't see into that spiritual realm doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It doesn't mean it's not actively moving and shifting things in the realm around us, in our physical realm. Okay? Now we can see into this spiritual realm. I don't want you to get freaked out about it. Spiritual realm is, I enjoy living in that edge, right on the edge of that spiritual realm where you can see into it, because you can see, and I'll explain this, but you can see what is going on. You can see what is happening in your life, and it doesn't stress you out so bad. You have a more of an understanding. People wonder where they get peace. To be spiritually minded brings life and peace. Okay? The Bible says that. So if we're living in that spiritual realm, we have more peace. Things don't stress us out so bad. Okay? There's more than just what you can see in the natural realm. It is real. Okay? It's the spiritual realm is having an effect on the things around it, just like the wind has an effect on the things around it. The spiritual realm is very, very real. Okay, I want to show you a scripture. Many of you know this in Ephesians chapter 6. Okay, but there's one in 6:10 through 12. It says, finally, my brethren, he's encouraging them. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay, that's where our power comes from. But put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That means the schemes. Okay, the devil's plotted against you. Okay, so put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, these are all things you can't see with your natural eye, right? We look at a dictator and we think, that's a bad man, okay? But there's some spiritual wickedness in high places. There's some demonic forces that we're wrestling against, the powers, principalities, rulers of the darkness that are influencing the natural realm, okay? That's why bad things happen, okay? There's a spiritual force operating that is forcing things to happen in the natural physical realm that we see around us, okay? Again, it's not something to be afraid of, but it's something we have to be aware of because it will help you to understand some of the things that happen. These are things that you can't see with your eyes. And I'm going to tell you that many, many of the trials and the struggles and the battles that we go through are rooted in the spiritual realm. That's what's bringing it out. Okay, what is it that makes that agitation come in your day? Man, it's just one thing after another. Now I'm all worked up and I'm agitated. Okay, there's a spiritual force behind that. Okay, and to deny that is to live in oblivion. Go ahead and be frustrated, okay? But I'm telling you, there's something there that can be addressed. It can be dealt with so that we can live in a different place. We can live in the victory. Okay, there's far more of that stuff going on than most people will even ever acknowledge. But there are spirits, active spirits, working in the society that we live in. There's spirits of anger. Okay, there's spirits of depression. There's spirits of lust. There's spirits that operate that can be addressed and dealt with, dealing with that spiritual force, so then you can be set free from it. Okay? Now we can do lots of things in the natural to try to address things. You can go lay on a couch and a psychiatrist will have you say certain things and tell them your whole life story. Maybe that'll help. But I'm telling you, there's a spiritual force behind that. Maybe even some of the physical things that are going on. That we don't, we're thinking that, oh, it's just because of, I played football when I was younger, so that's why my knees hurt. But maybe there's a spiritual force behind that that is trying to make it hinder you, cause you to be injured, cause you to be in pain. What happens when you're in pain all the time? Are you a nice, chipper, peaceful person? Not unless you're on some good meds, right? Okay? But I'm telling you, when you got that, a lot of times you're cranky. So what happens when you're cranky? You snap at your spouse or whoever it is. Then what happens? They snap back. Pretty soon you're in a big argument over what? You think it's because they didn't do the dishes, but really it came from a pain in your knee that's making you frustrated all day. Okay, so you're living with this stuff and you're putting up with it, not realizing the influence that is having later on. And so you're blaming, you're pointing your finger at your spouse saying they didn't do the dishes. Okay, or whatever that is. And it really came from you being agitated from a pain in your knee that is caused by a spiritual force that's wrecking your life. Okay, there's things behind the scenes that are going on. And if we begin to see into that, remember I told you get this down, you start to see what's behind, what's the root of these things, it'll change your life. It'll make it so that you understand your faith in God will continue to grow. How am I going to fight against a spirit bugging my knee? I need Jesus, right? Okay, so it's going to point to him as that victory is only going to come through Jesus. Okay, that's where our help is going to come from. Okay, learning to see the root causes of the events in our life takes practice. Okay, I'm going to tell you that. It takes some practice. It takes some discerning of spirits. And we exercise that gift. A spiritual gift of discernment is given by the Holy Spirit. It's one of the gifts. One of the nine, if you want to call it. That's what I call those nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. But understanding that through the spiritual gift of discernment will give us some victories in our life. It's going to help us so that we can relieve some of those anxieties that come up in the short term and the long term. Now, we have an expression in my family a lot of times we use that it is to take a step back and see it for what it is. Okay? Take a step back and see it for what it really is. See it for what it is. Don't look at the surface, okay? Because that can be deceiving, okay? But look behind it. What is making that happen? Okay, when you can see the spiritual force behind the circumstances, it changes the way you look at things. When a bucket rolls across the parking lot because the wind's blowing it, slams into your car, do you yell at the bucket? Or do you yell at the four-letter word, right? The wind, right? That dumb wind, you know? Okay, you see the force that's behind it. So now you're not yelling at your spouse. You can go to the source and put the source in its place. I don't know what you do about the wind, but if we knew that one, we'd be in a good place here in Rollins, right? Okay, but so we're not going to be able to, we're going to look at what's behind it. Okay, when somebody treats you nasty, okay, and this happens, this is real life, right? Somebody treats you nasty, just kind of out of the blue. You don't even know what they're doing or why this is happening. You know, you can get down on yourself or get down on them thinking it's because they don't like you. You know, I must have done something wrong. I must deserve this. You can have all kinds of thoughts go through. Or you can see it for what it is and realize the spirits in them don't like the Holy Spirit of God in you, and they're going to come against that. Okay? It happens every day in a believer's life. Okay? And the stronger you walk, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to be addressed. It's going to be dealt with. People are not going to like some of those spirits. I've seen spirits over the years walking through a grocery store, and I'll walk into an aisle, somebody will look up, and pretty soon they just turn around and walk the other way. I don't think they even realized why they did it or what happened, but I can see it. Spiritually, something just did not want to walk by this guy. Okay, and I know story, I can tell you story after story of people that sit down next to somebody in an airplane in a seat, and all of a sudden they just burst into tears. They don't know why. Okay, there's a Holy Spirit of God within you, right? We've received the power of God in us, and sometimes that will make an effect on the people that are around us. Next week, we're actually going to look at Peter and Paul and some New Testament examples of everyday people, just like you and I, that walked in discernment, that walked with their eyes and ears spiritually discerning what was going on around them and making adjustments accordingly, okay, so that they could see what was happening. Peter and Paul had some good examples we're going to look at. Well, that's next week. I want to show you that we can, as believers today, walk in that kind of an anointing today, that you can see into that spiritual realm. As a believer filled to overflowing with the Spirit of God, we can look beyond the natural circumstances. You can look beyond that and see what's at the root of these. Elijah and Isaac were good examples. I think I skipped a page here. Let's try this again. How many pages do you have, Pastor? I can hear that. No, I'm just kidding. So let's look at this. If you're I kind of went through this, but if you're in a huge fight with your spouse, you don't even know what started it. Okay, it can go on for hours, right? Sometimes even days. Hopefully you're not sleeping on it. My wife and I always try. The Bible says, let not the sun go down upon your anger, upon your wrath. So we try to deal with it. I will stay up all night long if I have to. I won't go to sleep because I don't want to go to bed with something like that between us. Okay, but it can go on sometimes for hours, days, or weeks. You end up looking at the other person as the source of your frustration. If you just did this, okay, and then sometimes we internalize it. Well, it's me, I'm a bad person, and we live with that. But if you realize that the enemy of your souls is determined to steal, kill, and destroy you and your marriage, then maybe you can stop and say, wait a minute. Let's not let the devil prevail in our relationship. Let's stop and pray. Let's stop and bind up that work that's trying to come against us right now. There's a real binding and a loosing. Maybe in a future message we'll get into some of that. But there's a real ability that God gave you to address some of those spiritual things coming against your life. You don't have to put up with it. Okay? You can say, no, devil, I stop right now. I bind you up. I'm not allowing that to take place in this relationship any longer. Okay? The devil won't like it. I'll just warn you. And you may try something else, but you do it again, and guess what? The Bible gives us the answer. If you resist the devil, he will flee from you. He doesn't like it when you know your authority. That's why I said in the beginning, number one, know your heritage as a child of God. Man, you got it. You've got what it takes. God has given that to you. And when you realize that, you can walk in the spiritual authority that I'm talking about. Okay, if you realize that, you know, the devil's trying to get you, you can stop, you can pray. Maybe in a different situation, it seems like nothing is going right in your day. Everything you touch is going wrong. It's just a bad day. You know, many people begin to look at themselves and say, what's wrong with me? I'm just a loser. I can't do anything right. But when you see it for what it is, you can stop. You can say, you know what? The devil's trying to steal my joy. The devil's trying to steal my reputation with my employer. The devil's trying to make a mess of my relationship, and you can actually deal with it. You can resist the devil and take back that ground that he has stolen from you. There's this old song that says, go to the enemy's camp and take back what he stole from me. It's a wonderful song about stomping on the devil. It's about putting him under your feet. Okay, James 4:6 is where that scripture is. It says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like to be come against by an authoritative believer, somebody that knows their authority in Christ. The Bible tells you that God has good things in store for you. Okay, the devil's going to try to blind your eyes. He'll try to keep you from seeing the goodness of God so that you'll just live with less than. Okay, anybody ever seen the commercials? If you watch football, I don't remember what company it is. It's a cable company, but it's called The Settlers. Anybody ever seen The Settlers? Okay, I think is what it calls. And it's people that, oh, Dad, how come we can't get cable like these? And he says, because we're settlers, son. You know, and it's about being a settler, somebody that settles for less than the best. Okay, we don't have to be there as a child of God. Okay, 2 Corinthians 4:3, a couple scriptures. 4:3 and 4 says, but if their gospel or the good news be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Okay, who's the lost? Those that don't believe on Jesus. They don't have Christ yet. It says, in whom the God of this world, small g, talking about Satan, talking about the devil, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of the Son of God, should shine unto them. Okay, you know, a little bit different topic or frame if we read that whole chapter, but basically I want you to get the point. The devil can blind the minds of some to keep them from seeing the goodness of God, to see the good thing that God wants to give them. Is the gospel a good thing? It's called good news, right? And so if the devil is trying to blind them from seeing that, I believe he's trying to blind people today from seeing that you don't have to settle. You don't have to be a settler, right? You can go beyond that. Okay. If you choose to live according to your flesh, if you choose to live according to what you can see and feel only, you're going to end up living a defeated life. You're going to be bounced around by circumstances, tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine, by everything that comes and goes in your life is just knocking you around, and you're not able to see what is actually happening. If you live according to the Spirit of God, you allow Him to reveal His will. You begin to allow Him to reveal His ways and His power that is in you, then you begin to live and walk in the supernatural. It's above that, not just what you can see. Now, I use that term supernatural and it freaks people out, but I'm not talking about kooky stuff. I'm talking about living in the Spirit instead of living according to the flesh. The Bible says to walk not in the flesh, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We want to walk in the Spirit. It's a good place to be, right? Number three, how to get to this. Number three was to open your eyes to see into the spiritual realm and respond according to what you see there. If you want to put that word on the end of that. Respond according to what you see in the spiritual realm instead of just responding according to what you see in the natural. There's a real natural world we live in. It's definitely here. Next week we're going to look at that a little bit deeper about, like I said, Peter and Paul and regular folks who walk in that kind of an anointing, that walk and able to see into that spiritual realm. Okay, it's a better place to be. As a believer, we can look beyond our natural circumstances. I want to give you some examples. Elijah and Elisha in the Bible are good examples for us of some Old Testament guys that did this. Okay, Elijah was taken up to heaven by a miraculous chariot of fire. Okay, taken up from us. He saw things that could only be seen by faith. Okay, he trusted God, he believed and communicated with God, and he saw things happening in his life that there was no possible explanation than that this was supernatural. This was he had seen deeper than what he could see with his eyes. Then Elisha, okay, kind of his protege, right? Knowing what kind of an anointing that Elijah walked in, when he was given the opportunity to ask for anything, he said, I want a double portion of what Elijah's got. Right? What better thing to ask? I mean, I see what he walks in. I want a double portion. And you know what he got? A double portion. He got exactly that. And he was able to walk in things, seeing in the Spirit instead of seeing just the natural things around him. Shortly after he asked for that, there was a widow woman that came to Elisha. She tells him, I'm going to perish. My sons are going to be sold into slavery because I have this debt and I cannot pay it. Okay? She was looking in her natural realm saying, I'm done for. This is all I've got. So she goes to Elisha, who in the Bible, probably more than anybody I've seen, is called a man of God, okay? Because he trusted God. And so everybody referred to him as the man of God, okay? And so she goes to the man of God and she tells him that she's going to be perish and her kids are going to be sold into slavery because of this debt she has. And he asks her simply, what do you have in your house? She says, I don't have anything but a little bit of oil. Okay? That her carnal thinking mind, that was all she had. It wasn't going to be enough. It wasn't going to sustain her. It wasn't going to amount to much. That's all she had was this little bit of oil. That's all I got. And she was done. Okay? Elisha saw into the spiritual realm and saw that God would turn that little bit of oil into more than enough for her to pay off her debts, to be able to sell it, to get all the things. And then he gives her very specific instructions. Go and gather all the pots that you can from all your neighbors and take that little bit of oil you got and start pouring it into those pots. And it never ran out. Filled up another one. And it just kept going and going and going. And she took it, sold it, paid off all her debt and had enough to live on. Okay? Now that was him seeing past the natural. All she had was a little bit of oil. And he sees in the spiritual realm that God will take that and multiply it to do what you need to do. Now think of Jesus. How many times did he do that? We only have a few fish. Only have a few loaves of bread. We only have, you know, no wine left. You know, bring me a pot of water. And he saw into a spiritual realm that said, watch this. God can do more than what you can see with your natural eyes. And he turned the water into wine. He turned fish into thousands, you know, whatever he needed to do. He was doing the same kinds of things. Okay, Elisha was able to see into that spiritual realm. After this, there was a Shunammite woman, just somebody in the land that knew that he was a, quote, man of God, and that he passed by their house frequently. So she began to invite him in, saying, come on in and dine with us. Come and eat with us, thou man of God. And so she would have him come in. Finally, she says to her husband and says, you know, he passes by here all the time. We should set up that spare room up there and put a bed in there, put a candle in there, make sure that he's got everything he needs, always have a little food on hand for him so that any time he passes by, we have a place for him to stay. Okay? Now that blessed the man of God, right? And so he says, you know what? What can I do to repay you for this? Said, you guys are so blessed. You've been blessing me. Every time I come here, you guys are providing. What can I do to repay you? Can I talk to the king? Elisha had it in with the king, right? He was helping him as a prophet. So he said, can I talk to the king on your behalf? Can I get you some favor with whoever? And she says, no, don't really need anything. You know how they are. You know, the good servant people, hospitable people. Oh, no, I don't need anything. She couldn't think of anything. So Elisha's servant says to him, you know what? The Shunammite woman is an old lady, and her husband's even older, but they don't have any kids yet. That's all Elisha had to see or hear, okay? He looks into the spiritual realm and sees a baby forming in her womb. And he tells her, ma'am, you're going to have a baby within a year. And she didn't believe it at first. She actually said, oh, thou man of God, please don't lie to me. That's what he said, because she didn't believe it could happen. And guess what? Within a year, she had a baby just like he said was going to happen. Okay, then it goes on from there that the baby is born, the baby grows up, he keeps stopping at their house on occasion, but the son, as he's growing up, gets sick. And he actually, at one point it says, he goes to his father in the field and he says, Father, my head, my head. And that's all it says. And then, so we don't know exactly what it is, maybe an aneurysm or something, but the father has the servant take the son back to the house, to the wife. The wife holds him in his arms until the son dies. Okay? She sends right away, says, go call the man of God. Get on that donkey. Take me to the man of God. Okay? That's what she said. She went to him on the donkey and told her servant, don't stop this donkey for anything. Not even if I'm telling you to stop would be the only reason to stop. But other than that, you just go as fast as you can go to the man of God. She gets there. They have this interaction, and the man of God sends and ends up coming back to the house. Elisha immediately sees in the Spirit of God. He says, your son is going to live. Okay, that's what he's thinking. He sees into that spiritual realm, not just the natural now. He's going past that into the spiritual, and he says, your son's going to live. He goes back there, and guess what? He prays to God, and the son lives. Okay, over and over and over again, God uses Elisha as a man of God, just like you and I, somebody that communicates with God. We can have a relationship with him. His spirit lives on the inside of us, and we can live in that, where that we can see beyond the natural. Oh, my checking account's empty. Look beyond the natural into the spiritual realm to see that God will provide in whatever way that God will do it. He'll begin to speak. It's something I think that we, as we grow in faith, we grow in the understanding of how to walk in this. Okay, so The miraculous living, victorious living in Elisha's life goes on and on, miracle after miracle. And they're not just interesting stories in the Bible. They're not just things that we read about, oh, that's interesting, wish that, you know, could happen to me. These are things that God put in there as an example for you and I, that this is possible. This isn't fairy tale. These are the Word of God itself that tells us that these things actually happen. Okay, some of us need to pray and ask God to open our eyes. Open our eyes to the spiritual realm. Open the eyes of our understanding that we can see beyond the natural, to see some of the victories that are available for us to live in and to walk in. I want to end with another story in the Bible about Elisha, the last one for today. But Elisha was described in the Bible as working very closely with the king of Israel. He was prophesying, telling him, giving him information. You know, a lot of it was foretelling of things that were going to happen. And so he's working closely with them. The Assyrians and the Syrian king were at war with the Israelites. They're in this battle with them. And so the Syrian king would tell his servants, go and camp over there and ambush the Israelites when they come around the corner. Okay, well, the prophet of God was able to see in that spiritual realm and know that they were going to camp there. So he would go to the king of Israel and say, don't send your men over there. There's an ambush waiting for you. Stopped it. The king of Israel says, thank you again. You know, it just happened over and over again. He did it. It says not a few times. So several times he did this. Finally, the Syrian king gets mad. And he says, he calls all his servants in and he says, which one of you is a spy for Israel? Because somehow they always know where we're going to go. And one of the servants steps up and he says, it's none of us, O king. It is the prophet in Israel named Elisha that seems to know what you say in your bedchamber. And so Elisha gets mad and he says, okay, find out where this guy is. He sends spies into Israel and find out where Elisha is. They find out he's in this city, I think it's called Dothan. So Elisha's in there. He sends chariots, horses, a whole vast army of men to go and surround the city of Dothan during the middle of the night. Okay, and this is where I want to pick up a scripture here, but this is what, you know, you think about seeing in the natural, okay? Elisha's servant wakes up in the morning before he does and goes and looks out the window, maybe sipping his coffee or whatever, but he goes and looks out the window, and we're going to get to that part of what he sees when this happens. 2 Kings 6:15. Okay, so when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host or an army circled around both sides with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do? We're surrounded. This is too big for us. He looks in the natural and he answered and said, this is Elisha looking in the spirit, says, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Okay, next verse. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he too may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Okay, on his side. Okay, and the story goes on from there, and they defeated him, did all this stuff. But that's why I want you to see that he prayed for his eyes to be opened to the spiritual realm to see what he could see. And that's my prayer right now for us. Let's pray, God, open our eyes to see into the spiritual realm, to see beyond the natural, to see into what we can't see right now. You know, I think, wouldn't it be awesome to know the plans the enemy has for you and to be able to say, no, I'm not going to go that direction. I'm not going to take that highway today if there's going to be an accident on it that I know in my spirit. I'm not going to get on that airplane if it's going to go down, you know, kind of things. I'm saying that God can tell you the plans the enemy has for you to keep you from stepping into it. And also, wouldn't it be great if God could tell you the plans that he has for you to help you step into that? That God says, go this direction, go, you know, take this job, meet this person, do these things, and that we step into that. I say it's possible. Because of the anointing, the blessing of God, as a child of God, the heritage that's upon us, that we can live in that. And we can actually walk according to that. Okay? So pray for God. Open your eyes to the spiritual realm. See and understand the good things that God has for you as a child of God. Believe for your inheritance as a child of God. Determine the root cause of the struggles that comes your way. And open, pray that God opens your eyes to that spiritual realm so you can respond accordingly to what you see in the spiritual realm. You know, there's nothing hidden from God. There's nothing too difficult for Him. There's nothing that He can't overcome or deal with in your life. So we want to be able to open ourselves up to that spiritual realm to be able to walk in that. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I pray right now. I pray in the name of Jesus, Your Son and our Savior, that You sent for us to believe in and trust in. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for each one of us to have our eyes opened to the spiritual realm, Lord, as much as we can handle. Put it that way, Lord. Open it up as much as we can handle to see into that realm, that we can have an understanding of some of the root causes of the things that come against us, that we can see beyond the natural, to see past the circumstance, to see past that adversity that's right in our face, to see beyond that into that spiritual realm, to see Your solution at work behind that. Lord, I praise You and thank You for Your word. I thank You for revealing unto us more about You, for encouraging us to grow in our faith and understanding of You, and then encouraging us, Lord, in our walk with You, that we can live in victory, that we can overcome the adversary, that we can see His plans and tricks, that we can sidestep what He has or even push Him back and put Him in His place. Father, we praise You for these things. We give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.